Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hi again, everybody. Reminder that for this holiday season, we're taking stock of the economy in your life and your neighborhood with an online map and story project called Rut or Recovery. It's on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. We know the recovery has been uneven, and we're asking you to tell us where there is good news and where there is not. A couple of stories that came in the last few days from 364 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn with a photo attached. It says, my cousins own a restaurant bakery in Borham Hill. They've had a really rough year or two. They sell a lot of pies, et cetera, for Thanksgiving, and she always makes beautifully decorated cookies that look like turkeys. Last year, she had to give them all away. People will buy a pie, but wouldn't waste money on something like a $4.50 cookie that is just an extra. This year, she sold more than half of the turkey cookies. I call it the Turkey Cookie Index, an economic indicator that people are more willing and able to buy a little something extra that they don't really need this year. So that from 364 Atlantic Avenue. But then we have this from Diedrich Knickerbocker called 8th Street Blues. It says, 8th Street in the Village from 6th Avenue to Broadway is in dismal straits. It used to be thriving and lively. Indeed, an article in New York Magazine about 15 years ago addressed the raucous feel of the street. Now it is a ghost town. More than 50% of the storefronts are empty, and the street is desolate. So thanks to everyone who has added your story or photo or video so far. See our Rut or Recovery map and contribute a story from your life or what you observe around you. Go to our politics website. It's a freecountry.org and help document our holiday season Rut or Recovery today. Well, the fate of the Bush tax cuts is getting the most attention among those following the Senate this week, don't you know? But the fate of the bill to compensate those harmed by the environmental toxins released by the World Trade Center attacks is also on the line and reportedly needs only one more Republican vote to assure a filibuster-free passage. Could come up tomorrow. The James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act, as it's known, would compensate and treat those who lived or worked in the dust following the collapse of the towers. Joining me now to talk about the bill and that dust cloud is Anthony DePalma, writer-in-residence at Seton Hall University and the author of City of Dust, Illness, Arrogance, and 9/11. He covered these issues for the New York Times previously as a reporter there. Hey, Anthony, welcome to WNYC today.
Good morning, Brian. Good to be with you.
So just give us an update on this. And remind us first, what would the Zadroga bill actually do?
The Zadroga bill it's a big, complicated bill, 120 pages, so there's a lot in there. But basically, it's got two parts. One would provide long-term funding for the monitoring and treatment of a whole lot of people, not just responders, but also residents, students, and people who worked in the offices downtown. The second part would provide compensation. It would basically reopen the old Victims Compensation Fund, which operated between 2001 and the end of 2003.
How is this different from the court settlement that was just signed off on to compensate tens of thousands of responders?
Yeah, well, big difference. As I said, the first part actually makes semi-permanent or provides long-term funding for a whole lot of people who were getting treated up at Mount Sinai and at Bellevue and at UMDNJ in New Jersey. That funding has been around in bits and pieces and drips and drabs, it comes through from Congress, since around 2002. This would set it up on a long-term basis, provide that funding, about $3.5 billion worth of it, through the end of 2020. On the other side, the compensation would provide the possibility for thousands of people, responders who are also in the lawsuit, but also lots of people who are not in the lawsuit, to ask a special master, you remember Ken Feinberg did this the first time around, to help them make up for their financial and economic losses because of the illnesses that they suffered.
And there are, I think, about 90,000 people who would be covered by the Zadroga Act, about 30,000 who are covered by the lawsuit. So that's a lot of people who just live downtown or whatever. Are those numbers right?
The Congressional Budget Office took a look at this, and because the scope of the Zadroga Act is so large, potentially 650,000 people would be covered by it. They don't expect that many people to actually come forward. But if you think about all the people, anyone who was down there on that day, anyone who worked, cleaners, students, people who live there, people in Brooklyn and New York, the whole universe of it is 650,000. They expect that somewhere around 15% of those people might actually apply, and then they've got numbers based on how many of those people will claim that they're ill. But even when it comes down to the illnesses, that's all very vague in this bill.
By the way, on our webpage, David from Ditmas Park comments, just to dovetail into this story from the last one, we were talking about WikiLeaks and government transparency. Imagine if the EPA had been open and honest about the safety of Ground Zero. It could have saved taxpayers billions.
Yeah.
So just throwing that in from David. But the hang-up on the Zadroga Act for Republicans in supporting this bill, they say, is how it will be paid for. To keep it revenue neutral, the Democrats would pay for it by closing a tax loophole for offshore businesses, something that some Republicans call a job killer. Are you following that side of the debate at all?
Yeah. The estimates from the Congressional Budget Office are that it's about $7.5 billion through 2020. But the compensation fund actually will operate for another 10 years after that. So the bill is capped at over $11 billion. So that's, you know, it's a sizable chunk of change. The proposal in the bill originally was to close those loopholes. Most recently, Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand, who've been working hard to get this passed, have proposed a whole bunch of options, sort of a menu list, and they told the Republicans sort of pick and choose from this and we'll make up the money in some other way. But given that the atmosphere down in Washington at this time, I think you're going to find that the Republicans are reluctant to go along with anything that looks like a tax increase or that might cost any jobs.
You would think it wouldn't be a public relations boost to be in favor of companies that move their headquarters offshore so they can take advantage of other countries' tax rates.
Yeah, well, they present it in terms of jobs and whether the jobs are Nissan with a factory here or some other American company. They're talking just about jobs. I think, you know, there's a possibility that they can get it through. They tried earlier this year by attaching it to a defense spending bill. They might try doing something like that again. If it doesn't pass, now they've got the lame duck session, which only has a couple more days to go, and the reason they want to get it through is because the Democrats are in control. This, you might ask, why are we talking about this 9 years later? Why has it taken so long?
Yeah.
The Republican administration during the Bush administration really never came around and fully embraced the idea that that dust was harmful. So for years, they said it wasn't. And then when the evidence started to present itself and the people up at Mount Sinai started finding out that there were lots of problems, they provided funding for the monitoring and treatment program. But they did it only year to year, which made it impossible to do a real vigorous program and also impossible to do the kind of research that would come up with answers.
Well, what do you think? In your book, City of Dust, Illness, Arrogance, and 9/11, I guess you say that supporters of the bill claim 900 people have died from breathing the dust at Ground Zero, but you think it's not so clear.
No, not so clear at all. I mean, they keep citing a New York State Department of Health study that indicated that they've collected that many death certificates, but the Department of Health is attempting to come down to the point where they can make some answers, but they haven't made any conclusions yet. I mean, that list includes people who died in car accidents, people who died in conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, we simply don't know yet. That's why it's so important to continue this scientific research on this. I mean, the first part of the bill, the Title I part of it, would provide money and long-term funding to do the treatment and to do the clinical studies that will hopefully at some point come up with answers that says, yes, this dust caused these illnesses. Right now, I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that the Zadroga bill has a fairly limited list of illnesses that they conclude with a reasonable degree of certainty are related to the 9/11 dust. But cancer, which is the big worry for a lot of people, a lot of your listeners, is not on that list.
So they have just a short amount of time, as you said, to get this done. You want to predict before you go, are they going to get that 60th vote? Scott Brown is in their sights. Are they going to get it?
Well, they've got Mark Kirk, who took over President Obama's seat in Illinois. He voted for it when he was in the House. Now he's in the Senate. They're making a pretty hard pitch using a moral suasion and a patriotic case that today, December 7th, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the moral case for helping these people is so strong that they might be able to squeeze it through, I think. If they don't, I think there's a chance to come back again next time, but probably not in the shape that it's in this way. It would probably be half of the bill, just the treatment part and not the compensation part.
Anthony DePalma, former New York Times correspondent, author of City of Dust, Illness, Arrogance, and 9/11. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And coming up next, the CEO of Weight Watchers to explain their new point system for foods, including the guilt-free banana. Get ready to recalculate your diets for the Christmas eating season. And even if you're not on the Weight Watchers program, this reflects a lot of science that's out there about how we process food today. And they try to collect all that and digest it and reflect it in this new system. So this is going to be an interesting conversation, whether you're on Weight Watchers or not. Stay with us. Weight Watchers practitioners, you can call in and talk to the head of the company at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How do you like the new points?